This story broke yesterday, and we had a fascinating conversation about it. A government advisory board that oversees biosecurity in the U.S. is asking two scientific journals to suppress details of a recent study on bird flu. Researchers found a mutation of the H5N1 virus, that's bird flu, that can be transmitted through the air between mammals. And it's raised concern that the virus might be used for biological warfare, be weaponized in some way because of the information that would be published in those journals. D.A. Henderson is a professor of medicine and founder of the Center for Biosecurity at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. He joins us from Baltimore. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Also with us is Christine Gorman, senior editor for Health and Medicine at Scientific American. She joins us via Skype from right here in Manhattan. Christine, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
So what's of greater concern here, censorship for an editor or biosecurity? Christine, we'll begin with you.
Well, I think it's a question of it's not just censorship, but practicality. I think this information will get out. You know, in this day and age of WikiLeaks and digital information, there are just too many people who know what the truth is about these five mutations and how to make them the virus become aerosolized. And so I think it's a question of how you get the information out. We already know that it's going to get out. This is not the first time this kind of question has come up. It certainly came up in 2005 with the publication of the genome of the 1918 pandemic flu virus. With the recreation of the 1918 pandemic flu virus. And, you know, a generation ago during the 1950s with publications about the H-bomb.
You know, that's interesting. I'd forgotten about that 1918 story that came out a couple of years ago. We're talking with Christine Gorman from Scientific American. D.A. Henderson, you know, we spoke with one of the lead researchers from this study out of Rotterdam about the mutation, and he described it as a relatively straightforward set of mutations that, as Christine said, aerosolized, allows transmission through the air of the bird flu virus. But his argument was that you want this information out because immediately scientists all over the world will be working on countermeasures for such a thing. You don't just want the terrorists to be working on it. Do you buy that argument?
No, I'm afraid I don't, because I do think there are many things one can do that do not require this information being made widely available. I think we're facing a very unusual problem here in that we are looking at an influenza virus, which is a very lethal virus, and it transmits in humans. We've had about 550 human cases. Half of them, more than half of them, have died. It's a very lethal virus, and what has happened is that this has been manipulated in a way to permit the virus to be transmitted by air. And I think of all of the biologic agents that we've been concerned about, whether it's smallpox or anthrax or what have you, this is far and away more dangerous than any we've ever dealt with in the past.
Well, then the argument is, why do the mutations? Why even do this kind of a study?
Well, I think the scientists involved their concern was, can we learn more about the virus, how it changes, how it spreads, how it affects man, and with the thought that we might develop something in the way of vaccines or drugs that would, by doing the experiments, we would get a clue as to how to proceed. So in that sense, that's the positive side. The other side is the negative one, which in this case is quite exceptional. Of all the different studies that have been done, this is the only one that we've come across, which really is very, very greatly of concern. At this point, I think, as was stated, it's a question, is it just too late to prohibit this being widely
right.
disseminated and with all possible implications it has?
Barn door open, horse gone kind of metaphor there. Christine Gorman from Scientific American, what's the bigger story, this breakthrough in terms of what the scientists have done, or is it going to be the story down the line that terrorists are going to be able to do the same kind of thing in their own laboratories?
Well, without having seen the information, obviously I can't, you know, offer any very detailed answer, but I think we've already heard from Ron Fouchier that he feels morally obligated to warn scientists who unknowingly are working with these mutations how to avoid the danger of accidentally creating a pandemic virus.
He scared us yesterday. He was on the show yesterday. He scared us describing just how dangerous this is. I guess my question for you as an editor, if the government came to you and said, don't publish this, would you suppress it?
Well, that's a good question, and one that Scientific American faced back in 1950 when Hans Bethe was publishing an article about this new technology that no one had tried out yet called the hydrogen bomb. So we've certainly seen this before. I think each one is a case-by-case decision. I think that probably the editors of Nature and Science, I should say that we're owned by the Scientific American is owned by the same company that owns Nature, but I don't have access to their papers or anything like that. They're figuring this all out, you know, now. It's an important question. I think the other thing, though, that I would like to know is what are the chances that Nature herself will come up with this series of mutations, in which case, why are we worrying about terrorists when nature could? I mean, nature is the ultimate terrorist in this situation. No,
and Dr. Fouchier said that yesterday as well. Christine Gorman is the senior editor for Health and Medicine at Scientific American. D.A. Henderson, before we go, should scientists be self-regulating on this kind of free flow of information, or should the government do it?
I think there has to be a very serious set of discussions with scientists, with the government. I think this particular set of experiments should have been looked at very carefully before they began, but they're now way down the road, and the question is, can we get the horse back in the barn? And it looks very doubtful at this point in time.
All right, D.A. Henderson, professor of medicine and founder of the Center for Biosecurity at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. Happy holidays to both of you.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.